Matt has already told you, we've actually been working through the book of Deuteronomy for the whole term, but we're going to take a short break. We're going to look at the series, and then we'll kick off in Deuteronomy again. So let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us. Father, every single one of us have ideas about you that are not true. We've swallowed lies about you. We think things of you that are not worthy of you. So here's what we ask. Will you come and clear your name? Show us who you really are and what you really like and what you've done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool, man. So I wonder if you've had this experience. Have you ever had someone slandered? Someone really spoke badly about someone, and you think, oh, what a loser, you know, what a... And you get to know them, and it wasn't true. They were really, really nice. It was not true. I don't know why I thought that about you. You know what that's called? That's called character assassination. It's a really ugly thing to do. Sometimes it's worse than a physical thing. You know, if you punch someone, it's a bad thing to do, and they get a big eye and that, you know? But over time, it goes away. And then it's yellow, you know, 2 weeks later, not a big deal. But when you attack someone's character, it takes longer than 2 weeks. It can take a very long time. And people will always look at that person and they'll be suspicious about them, when in fact it wasn't true. It's called character assassination. It's one of the ugliest things you can do to a person. I've got a great example for you. So you would have told, you would have told by my accent that I come from South Africa. I grew up and I was told that Nelson Mandela was a bad man. That's how I grew up. And I was told that this guy was evil, man. Nelson Mandela, he was a terrorist. He was a racist. The government did everything in its power to paint him as a bad man. It was called character assassination. I wasn't allowed to know what he said about himself. No, we never got to hear him. You weren't allowed to even talk about him. He was a bad man. One day, he got arrested, not far from where I live, actually. And he got tried for being a terrorist, communist terrorist, bad man. And he was put on trial, and it was called the Rivonia trial. Famous thing in history. He was a lawyer, actually. And what he did was he made a speech, a three-hour speech. It's a famous speech. It's called the I Am Prepared to Die speech. You can Google it. It's a famous speech. And in that speech, do you know what he said? Listen to this. I have fought against white domination, and I fought against black domination. I've cherished the ideals of a democratic and free society, and where we live together in harmony. It's an ideal for which I hope to live for and achieve. But if necessary, it's an ideal for which I'm prepared to die. That's what he said about himself. He said, I'm not against white people. I'm not against, but I want us to be free. But you know what? I never got to hear that. I wasn't allowed to hear that. He was condemned. He was sentenced to life imprisonment as this bad, evil man. It's called character assassination. Do you know what happened when I was at uni? He was released after 27 years in prison with this bad reputation. He got released and he came to power. Landslide victory. Guess what? He turned out completely different to what we were told. It turns out he wasn't like that at all. He stayed true to what he said. He never killed white people. He loved all people. He taught us how to reconcile. He didn't go on a revenge attack. He turned out to be one of the greatest leaders of our time. His true character was exposed. It was all lies. It was propaganda. Many people were wrong about him. They didn't know what he was like. They believed lies about him. I want to tell you today there is a far worse character assassination going on today. I'm talking about God. The plain fact of the matter is that everywhere God's character is assassinated. People are spreading lies about him everywhere. His character's being smeared, just like Nelson Mandela. And just like Nelson Mandela, the media was controlled by the government, and so it was against him. Just like that today, our media is against God. The vast majority of people in Australia and South Africa and all over the world don't know what God says. They don't know what he says about himself. The vast majority of people don't know what God really stands for. What does God actually stand for? What does he really want? Well, that's not what people think. What is he really like? What did he do? And so people are deeply suspicious about God, not sure about that. Today, I want to show you what God says about himself. I want to show you what he's really like, and I want to show you what he's really done. We're going to expose the lies. We're going to look at God's character by what he said. Look at it in front of you. John 3, verse 16. Please keep that in front of you. I want to show you this, not my ideas. This is what God says. Well-known verses, but we're going to look at it. Look at John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Get this. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Just like Mandela gave a speech at his trial, God is always on trial. And here is his speech. This is what he says about himself. He has the speech. And just like Mandela said, it is an ideal for which I'm prepared to die. I want to show you that this means so much to God, he's prepared to die for it. He did die for it. Let me show it to you. Three quick things. This is love. Number one, God loved the world. Very simple. Simple. God loved the world. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world. This is good news. This is such good. Listen, the fact that there is a God is not good news. I mean, so who cares? The fact that there is a God is not by itself good news. It depends what God is like before I can say it's good news. Guess what it turns out? There is a God and he loves the world. That's good news. There really is a God, and the God who's really there is a loving God. He loves the world. He really, really cares for the world. But the world is suspicious. The world is covered with propaganda. Let me show you. One of the worst lies about God, one of the propaganda, the character assassination, is by religion. What does religion say about God? It doesn't say that. See what that says? God loved the world. That's not what religion said. Do you know what religion says? God loves good people. That's what religion says. False teaching. Do you know what it says? God loves people who do well. God loves people who perform. God loves religious people. God loves people who've got their lives together. If you've done stupid things, if you're a sinner, if you've messed up, if you're a slave to something, well then, you've got to fix yourself first. Then God will love you. But that's not what's true. That's a lie. That's propaganda. The truth, God says, is that God loved the world. And you want to know what's better? See that word world there? In John's gospel, that's got a specific meaning. It doesn't just mean bigness, it means badness. In John's gospel, the world is the people in opposition to God. When that says God loved the world, it's talking about people who don't love him. People who've rejected him. And you know what? God loves those kinds of people. God loves the world. Religion tells lies about God. There's another lie about God. It goes something like this. God doesn't love us. Do you know why? Because we suffer. If God really loved us, we wouldn't suffer. That's a lie. That's not true. Look, God loved the world. And so the fact that I'm suffering doesn't prove he doesn't love me. It must mean something else. And one of the things we learn from the Bible is that God does allow suffering. He really does. If you go to any church that tells you you're never going to suffer if you have enough faith, that's a lie. It's not true. You will suffer. We're all going to die. We're all going to get old. We're all going to suffer. But God loves you still. Like a good parent, he allows suffering. Suffering does not mean God doesn't love me. It can't, because God loved the world. Okay, God loved the world. I get it. But those are just words. Words are cheap. What, do you want me to just believe words? Actions speak louder than words. If God loves me, why doesn't he show me? Why doesn't he do something? He did. He did. Here's the second thing. God loved the world. Number two, God gave his only son. There's actions. Actions speak louder than words. Look at verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You want to know something about God? Look what it says. God gave. God is a giver, not a taker. That's a lie. We think God's a taker. He's not. That's propaganda. God is a giver. Look what it says. God gave his only son. In my heart, I don't know if your heart's like my heart. In my heart, I think God wants to take from me. Do you know what happens? We live in a broken world and, you know, it's hard. And we find this one little happy thing. For me, it's like surfing or car surfing. You know, we find this little happy thing, and this thing makes me happy, and everything else, oh, I've got this one thing. And along comes God, like a big bully, and he wants to take it away from me. The one little thing that makes me happy, he wants to take it away. In our hearts, that's what we think. And many people out there don't want to know God because he just wants to take from me. It's not true. Look what it says. God gave. God is a giver, not a taker. And it's true. He does take things from us, by the way. He does. But he only takes from us what doesn't make us happy. He loves us so much. He will take stuff from us. Stuff that will ruin us. Stuff that will enslave us. God is a giver, not a taker. Okay, fine. So then what does he give? What does God give? Well, look what it says. God gave, I mean, this is hard to take on board, his only son. That, I know, most people in this room have heard that before. But can you take it on board? He gave his only son. What more can God give than that? What more can God give than that? It is astonishing when you think about it. What other religion? What other belief system do you have a God who gives so much? He gives his only son. Everyone knows God gave us this planet. It's not bad, although it's got overcast. It was much prettier this morning. But anyway, so it's not a bad planet, don't you think? If you don't agree with me, try living on Mars. I think you'll look across to the blue planet and you'll go, no, I prefer that one. It's not a bad planet. He's very kind. He gives us air. How many times have you breathed in your life? Do you know it's $1.20 a breath? No, it's free. You can have it for free. He's so kind. We got friends from our church who are missionaries in Pakistan. Go live in Pakistan. They get such bad air pollution that sometimes they wet dish towels and keep it on their mouths. It's human beings poison the air. When you live like that and you come to Perth, you'll go, you know what? God is very kind. This is pretty fresh and it's free. He gives us everything. But you know what? He's given us way more than that. God gave his only son. More than that. By the way, I just suddenly realized, maybe you're here this morning. You're not sure if there is a God. Maybe you're thinking that. And it's a great question. Is there really a God? Well, look at that again. God gave his only son. Who of you believes my dad exists? Oh, brilliant. It should be all of you. Have you met him? Have you ever seen him? No. But of course he exists. How do you know my dad exists? Because here I am. I'm his son. So of course my dad exists. Well, Jesus was here. God gave his only son. So of course there's a God. Because his son was here, logically. So you can have no doubts in your mind. There really is a God. Why? Because he gave his only son. That's how much he loves you. He gave you son. Let's play a game. In your head, do this. God, if you really love me, give me this. Keep it to yourself. What's that? God, if you really love me, give me this. Yeah? I want to tell you that God has given you more than whatever this is. He gave his son. His son is better than that this in your head. His son is better. And therefore, you've got absolutely no reason to doubt that he loves you. Because he gave his son. God gave his only son. It's better than you could have asked for yourself. But why? Why did he give you his son? Imagine if I came around with I got an 18-year-old, and I came to your house. I said, I love you. Have my son. You'll be going, you do not love me. You haven't seen my son. You know? What a funny way to show love. Why did he give his son? It's a funny way to show love. Another way of asking the question is, so there's God. Why did his son come to earth? Here's the third thing. Here's why. Amazing. God wants you to live. God wants you to live. Look at verse 16. God so loved the world. He gave his only son. Why? So that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you so much. He wants you to live. You say, well, I exist. I mean, how's that love? The word live there does not mean exist. Of course you exist. We know that. You're here. I can see you. Live in John's gospel is to flourish. It's to experience life as it should have been. It's to experience life that goes on forever. Here's the thing. People say eternal life. Not sure I want that. Do you want to go on forever? You know, eternal life is not just going on-ness. That's boring. Some people have such a bad life. They don't want to go on forever. That's not eternal life. Eternal life is a relationship with him. Eternal life is life that is flourishing, life as it should have been, and life that goes on beyond the grave. God so badly wants you to experience that life, he sent his son to give up his life. That's how badly he wants you to. It's not cheap love. God gave his only son. It's not. Have you heard that? Love hurts. You ever heard that? Love hurts. Ask God one day if it's true. Yeah, it hurts. He gave his son because he loved you so much. How does it work? Verse 17 tells us. This is how it works. Look at verse 17. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Let me explain it as clearly as I can. There are two words here that we need to understand. Two words that are the opposite of life. Two things. Let me show you two things that God doesn't want for you. The first word is perish. Look at the end of verse 16. That whoever believes in him should not perish. God doesn't want that to happen to you. Because perish doesn't mean die. We're all going to die. Everyone here is going to die. So it's not talking about that. What does perish mean? It means to waste away. It means to come to nothing. It means to rot. You notice IGA, what do you get? You get IGA, you get perishables. Why? Because they rot. To perish means to rot. And God doesn't want that to happen to anybody. The other word is condemn. Verse 17, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Condemn means to sentence. You condemned, you sentenced to be thrown away, to go and rot. Let me give you an illustration. So you go into the kitchen, right? Because you go into the kitchen every 10 minutes, you know? That's why you go into the kitchen, you're looking again for food, you know? So you go into the kitchen, you go like this. Oh. Something smells off here. Oh, something smells, and you start searching. And you follow your nose, and you find the fridge. You come to the fridge. Wowza, what's that? And you open the fridge, woo! And you follow your nose, and what do you find? At the bottom of a fridge is a cabbage from the year 1992 or whatever, you know? And it's hard, it's rotting. What do? You condemn it. Whoa, you're out of here. You condemn the cabbage to the bin. And what happens in the bin? It perishes. It rots. That's condemnation. That's rotting. God is going to clean out the fridge. No question about that. Every one of us are rotting inside, spiritually rotting. Oh, some people can see it's obvious. You look at a guy and you're like, oh, he's rot. He's made a mess. Some people, it's obvious. Some people, it's not obvious. Respectable, doing well, filled with pride, self-righteousness, self-trust. That's rotting. Cabbages rot faster than carrots. Some people rot quicker than others. We're all spiritually rotting. And God is going to clean the fridge out. He has to. Otherwise, it'll spread. Otherwise, the rottenness will spread and infect all the other food. But do you want the good news? Do you want the good news? God so loved the world. He gave his only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. Do you know why? Because the world's already condemned. We can see that. But in order that the world might be saved through him. In other words, that we don't get condemned and we don't perish. That's how much God loved you. God gave you his son. He wants you to live. So then why did Jesus come? It's easy. In order to be condemned in our place. Do you get it? Jesus was condemned in our place. Jesus swapped places with us. Jesus Christ was condemned so that we can be forgiven. Jesus perished so that we can live. Guys, and there's some ladies as well. This is love. Do you want to know what love looks like? You want to know what love looks like? I'll show it to you. God loved the world. That's the first thing. Love is unconditional. God looked at a mess world and he loved it anyway. That's love. God is love. It's unconditional. Second thing, God gave. Love is giving, not taking. God is a giver, not a taker. What did he give? God gave his only son. Third thing about love, it is self-sacrificing. If someone loves you and they haven't sacrificed themselves, they don't love you like God does. God gave his only son. Do you know what love does? Love wants you to live. to flourish forever. This is what love looks like. God so loved the world, he gave his only son so that you can live. So why wouldn't anyone accept this kind of love? I mean, why wouldn't you accept that? What person in their right mind would say, no, thank you. There's a sale at, Coles. I think that's more important, or whatever. But what kind of person would refuse this love? I'll tell you who. Those who are victims of character assassination. People who've got God wrong. People who believe things about God that are just not true. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in jail as a condemned, evil, bad communist terrorist. When he emerged, everyone got to see his true character. That's not what he was. That's not what he stood for. Jesus was condemned. He perished. He died. He rose again. He will return. And people will all see what he's really like, that he's a loving, kind, caring, generous, wise king. But you need to know that on that day, those who insist on believing lies about him will be rejected by him. He's got to clean out the fridge. Make no mistake about that. So I'm asking you, why not change your mind today? Put the clutch in and change gears. Think differently about God. Why not ask him to save you from being condemned and perishing? Just ask him. Well, we're going to pray. You know what I've done? Now, I've written a prayer here. And quietly, I'm going to pray it slowly. And you are welcome. Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter. It's for everyone who believes these things. Pray this quietly after me. It's a simple prayer.